live from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan. It's the Camaro Z28.com podcast with your host Chris Frezza and Jason Debler. Strap in. It's the Camaro Z28.com podcast on the air.
Podcast number 29.
All right.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Jason.
And we got something pretty special this week.
That we do. This is a special podcast where we interview Jeff Gilbert, better known as Jeff96SS on the message board. He was recently shown on Speed Channel's show called Pinks. A lot of you might have seen it. It was aired on March 15th.
That was just last week.
And he if you never saw it, it's where he puts his car on the line for our entertainment.
That's right.
And you might have seen that his story was the thread of the week in the last podcast, and the thread was in the lounge. And
There's a whole lot of posts in that thread now.
A lot of cool stuff. It was pretty neat to have somebody from the board, you know, be on national television, especially.
Representing us domestics.
That's right.
Against a bunch of ricers.
Mad props to Jeff for not fronting.
Yeah.
Whatever they say. Yeah. I don't know what they say. Well, let's just welcome Jeff to the show and talk about it. How you doing, Jeff?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Yeah. After your good win, congratulations on that there on Pinks.
Yeah.
It was a pretty entertaining show.
Heck yeah.
Even though we kind of know how it turned out after watching it, it was still pretty nerve-wracking just to watch it because it was pretty dramatic.
Yeah.
You should have been there. Talk about dramatic. I mean, that was insane.
Was it?
I can imagine. I can imagine all the editing that went into that episode. So tell us, Jeff, how did you get involved with Pinks? Did you contact them?
Yeah, I did contact them. I heard they were going to be at MIR the same day I was. I was there at the EFI Nationals running my car, and I ended up getting an interview with them, and we went from there. They loved the car, and they liked me, so that's how it got started.
So how long was it before when you got interviewed to the actual taping of the show?
It was only a month, and they gave me about 3 weeks' notice, actually, after the interview. It was a couple weeks after the interview, and then they called up and said, yeah, we got the race for you, and here's the day we're going to do it.
Okay.
Is that all they told you, is just be there to race, and they didn't give you any more information, or did they give you a hint of what it was going to be all about?
Well, when I went into the interview, I told them I want to race a well-matched import.
Oh, okay.
Because imports, ricers, I should say, not all imports, just annoy the hell out of me with their fart pipes and their big wings and all of that crap.
When you said, I want to race an import, did they say, we've got the perfect car for you, we're ready to go? Or did they have to hunt for the import after that?
No, they said that they had one that wanted to beat a domestic, so we had a race.
Okay.
And what a race it was.
Yeah. So tell us about the week leading up to the event that was taped for Pinks. I've been reading some like blog posts. I think it was from Jeff Creech on his website. Now, did they call you and tell you got to slow the car down?
Yeah, they did. The Ricer boys were coming up with their street racing excuses long before the show ever aired, and they convinced Pinks that they blew their motor up.
Okay.
And that they would have to put a different motor in, and the car was going to be slower. So Pinks called me, and, you know, they were saying, well, we might not be able to do this race. And I told them, well, I can slow my car down, you know, a little bit. And what I actually did, I detuned that car. I was totally honest with them. Unlike most people on that show, they come out there with a very fast car, a lot faster than what they're telling Pinks they're going to bring. I slowed it down as far as I possibly could, and it turns out the slowest my car will run is about 1070. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's
too bad.
That's tragic. I got to tell you, your car is awesome. It's correct me if I'm wrong, it's a 1996 Trans Am with a ProCharger D1, 100 shot of nitrous, is that correct?
That's correct.
And on top of that, alcohol injection to take the place of the intercooler.
Yeah. Actually, I ripped the intercooler off right before the race because of it always got heat soaked, and I knew I'd be hot lapping. So we put alky injection on there, and I picked up 4 pounds of boost removing the intercooler.
Oh,
so,
nice. That's just pretty good. How many pounds of boost are you running?
I'm seeing 22 pounds of boost right now.
Damn.
So we were watching the episode just before we gave you this call, and the part that I think that made me the most nervous was when you were signing your title away before you even made a pass. First of all, how did you feel putting that pen to the paper?
Actually, about 3 days before, I was scared to death, and I was really nervous, and I almost chickened out. But once it got closer and once it got to the night before, I was feeling pretty good, you know. Talking to Pinks back and forth about the blown motor, they kind of let out a little information that they shouldn't have. Initially, I thought I would end up racing a Supra because they said they had a well-matched race for me.
Right.
And then they slipped up and said it's a four-cylinder turbo car, and so I figured it must be a Honda.
Yeah.
And I started looking online and finding what the fastest street-driven Hondas were, and I knew I could cover them no matter what they brought out. So
you were, at that point, you were pretty much into it. You had no big worries, even though you hadn't seen the car. You didn't know anything about the car other than the little mistake that they gave you. You seemed incredibly calm through the whole show.
Compared to the other team.
I was, but that's the way I am. It was intense, and you know, I was very serious about what I was doing. My car was on the line, so I was driving.
Right.
And I had a great crew that did everything. I mean, Jeff from Carolina Auto Masters, he's awesome, and all the guys. I don't know if you noticed, but I brought Paul and Chris Afanas with me. They're both champion Xbox Cup drivers in Nopi.
Oh.
They were my import experts. They're good friends of mine, too. So
you did your
homework. I had it covered.
Jeff, why don't you tell us about the day in general and tell us about the taping process and how long it took to tape. I mean, I'm sure a lot of the footage was left on the cutting room floor. And, you know, we only saw the half an hour's worth.
Right. There was 9 cameras, and we filmed for 3.5 hours. And, I mean, they left out so much. It was insane. They made those guys look a lot better than they really were that day. They did
really?
Everything they could to make them look better.
You mean the other team was, I guess,
louder and more obnoxious?
More forthcoming?
I mean, they were all a bunch of stereotypical ricers. I mean, it was ridiculous. They were yelling and screaming the whole time. I mean, we basically had to, you know, fight them to keep them away from our car. You know, they're coming over trying to pull shit off the car. It was ridiculous. You know, this one guy almost got to me enough where I smacked him, you know. I mean, I just couldn't believe. And you know, I wasn't prepared for that much BS from those guys.
Yeah.
You know, I knew there would be some, but it was intense.
Well, I guess
and
it makes
for 3.5 hours.
3.5 hours cut down to about 20 if you don't count the commercials.
Yeah. So I guess they left. I guess they left, you know, on the cutting room floor the part where your guys went over and cut their boost line.
Yeah, right. That is so funny because that may have been their plan. Actually, they may have done that on purpose. But that boost line went right through their hood latch. It was either accidentally cut by their hood latch or they came out that way on purpose to make themselves look really slow and get that huge lead they got. If it wasn't for him jumping on that race, I think they would have leaned more toward him and they would have kept, you know, their big lead. So that was actually kind of good that he did that. But, you know, my plan going in was to win the first two. Win the third. I was going to let him win the third, and then I was going to go ahead and take him out on the fourth race. The problem was, on the third race, I blew a charge tube off my blower, so I had no boost. That's why he beat me by 25 cars or whatever. I didn't realize the reason I blew that off is because the motor overread when I shifted into second gear, and it wasn't there.
Okay.
I didn't know I didn't have second gear until the fourth race when I was doing my burnout. So
okay. It
was too late to do anything about it then.
Yeah. Well, you could have took his car in the third race. He did drift past the starting line, but, I mean, you were a class act, and you wanted to win it fair and square.
Yep, that was very honorable. I think, throughout the whole show, you really kept your cool, and you just played, you know, obviously you calculated out how you wanted to do it. You had a pretty good idea. You did your homework, like we said.
A big part about what I wanted to do was show what real racers are all about, and the show is kind of turning into a, you know, like a WWF match with some cars. I'm not really sure I like that part.
Yeah.
You know, I like to see more of the cars, and you just get people on there with these huge egos and they're just talking smack the whole time, and I don't know, people are watching it, so I guess they know what they're doing.
Yeah, from reading through the enormous amounts of posts in the thread, there seems to be a hatred towards the host of the show, Rich Christensen, And this is the first time I've seen the show for Pinks. And, I mean, is he really a jerk like that in person?
No, the guy's, he's very focused, intense guy. It's funny, though, before they swing the camera to him, he's flexing and trying to pump up and stuff, and a couple times I was laughing at him, but...
Before he drove in the Hummer H6?
Oh, yeah. And what was funny is none of us were clapping, and then he's like, "Where's the applause, guys?" And then people started clapping. It was funny as hell.
So they assigned a person to each of your teams. There was a guy named Charles on your team who was a Pink's technical advisor. What exactly did they do for your team? Are they basically part of the production crew just to oversee things, or do they actually have an engineering-type background to help oversee and help you guys troubleshoot problems?
No, they're not there to look at problems. They're just there to see that we're not cheating or verify the problems we do have, because Rich doesn't know anything about cars. So he brought those guys on for this season to let him know about the cars. And in the other shows, you can see him asking those guys, you know, is this true what he's telling me?
Uh-huh.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, those guys, and they're both pretty cool. Nate doesn't have a very big fan club either. You see on the internet where a lot of people don't like that guy either, but he's cool. He's actually a friend of mine now.
Oh, okay, that's very cool.
He lives in the area.
Nice,
so.
Nice.
Good deal. Did you get to interact with the production crew at all, or was the only interaction that you had with them what we saw on the episode?
No, there was more interaction with really all of the crew, some of the camera guys, and I was messing with the guy putting the camera in my car quite a bit. But the producer of the show is really awesome, Steve Pullen.
Okay.
He's an Aussie, actually. He's a really cool guy, and obviously a very good producer, able to sift through all of that video and come out with a good show.
Did they ever want you to do anything in particular, like kind of like script you, like, you know, Rich is going to walk out of here and then I want you to say this, or, you know, you guys are going to come together now and, you know, negotiate and I want you guys to scream over there and then I want you guys to do this? Did they do anything like that?
No, not at all. I mean, they don't have to do, a lot of times they just stood back and were just smiling because of everything that was going on. They didn't need to say anything. It was so intense, the day. I mean, I bet I slept for 12 hours once I finally got out of there. I was just so mentally exhausted after that day. My car was on the line, and I obviously have a lot of money in that car. So.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of work in that. We can definitely tell.
So you ended up winning the whole ball of wax, and they assigned the title to you for the guy's, you know, import car that you won.
The Ricer.
So tell us what happened then.
Well, I guess I need to step back to the beginning when they pulled the cover off of the car. I was very, very disappointed because I wanted to see a wing on the Ricer. I brought a battery-powered Sawzall with me to cut that off on TV, but it didn't have one. So
damn.
I was a little bummed out after that. But after I won the car, I took it down the track. I ran it hard down the track, and I'm sure I ran a better pass than he did the whole day. First time in the car.
So was the car missing third gear?
Oh, my God. I barked the tires in every gear. That car was fast. If they would have had another driver in there, it would have been close.
Wow.
The way my car was tuned and the way that car could have ran, it would have been some close races. But that guy just couldn't drive at all.
Well,
they're a bunch of kids. They didn't know what they were doing.
Well, there's no question that the car did make some serious power. It didn't look all that impressive or dominating, but man, you know, the numbers speak for themselves, over 600 horsepower out of that little four-cylinder. So you didn't, I understand you didn't keep the car.
I had one of his crew members come up to me and offer me $13,000 for that car on the spot after the race because he knew what was in the car. So that kid had a lot of money in that motor and turbo setup.
Wow.
He had a lot of nice parts on there. No, I sold it back to him after that, the
what
next
a sport
day after
you are.
That.
Yeah.
Once again, it's pretty honorable of you.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
I didn't really want a Honda in the first place, but...
But all that gas mileage that, you know,
yeah.
Improvement that you'd get.
Yeah, thanks, guys. And one more thing to these guys out there that might be thinking about going on the show. It is for real, and be ready. It's no joke. You got to be prepared to lose your car when you walk in there. You really do. Or don't do it.
Not me, man.
Yeah, not me either.
I'm not doing it again with my own car, but we are talking about building a shop car, Jeff Creech and I. We got an old Corolla. I can't remember what it is. We're going to throw an LS1 in there.
Sweet.
And,
wow.
And try and run on next season. So we'll have an import with a real motor in it.
That's cool.
Very cool. I'd like to see that. So yeah. Definitely keep us posted on that.
Yeah, I will.
Well, good deal. It was a really cool show. Congratulations to you and Jeff Creech and the rest of your team for putting on a great show and being very entertaining.
Yeah, that was fun.
It's awesome. So it's cool that you got to be a part of it, and we really appreciate you talking to us about it. And we'll definitely see you on the boards, okay?
All right, man. Take care.
Later on.
See ya.
Bye.
Well, that was pretty cool.
That was awesome.
It was great to have Jeff on the show.
Cool show and a cool guy. He really did represent the domestic crowd well.
He sure did, in a perfect, classy manner.
Yep, class act. Kept us cool through the whole thing. I would have been pulling my hair out.
Oh, I know.
I can't fathom what was going on through his head, but apparently he was all right with
no
it.
No kidding.
So thanks again, Jeff, for talking with us about that.
We hope you make it on the next show.
Yeah, next show. And maybe we'll see a cool rematch with a nice hybrid.
Yeah.
Have some LS1 smoke some Ricer ass in a Ricer. Maybe he'll put a wing on the project car.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, be cool.
Never know.
We still have a contest going on. We're giving away one iPod Shuffle every month at the end of each month, and, well, heck.
The first one is next week.
Next week, so if you want to get involved on that, all you got to do is leave us a voicemail message on our hotline or send us an email that we can use in the podcast, and we'll count that as an entry, but it's got to be good.
Right.
How do you get a hold of us?
To stay informed and in touch with the Camaro Z28.com crew, go to the message boards at CamaroZ28.com. If you have a question for the podcast, call the Camaro Z28.com voicemail hotline. The number is 586-486-3182. That's 586-486-3182. Or by email, webmasters@CamaroZ28.com.
Perfect. So get them in.
Get them in. That's going to do it for us for this week, but definitely tune in next week for podcast number 30.
And we'll be back to probably our usual schedule with the thread of the week and, you know, the website review and...
Yep.
All that good stuff.
So, thanks a lot for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
Later on.
Thanks for listening to the Camaro Z28.com podcast. If you have questions or comments for Chris and Jason, call our voicemail hotline, 586-486-3182, or send your comments by email, webmasters@CamaroZ28.com. Don't forget to stop by the website for more information and show notes for today's show. Also, check out the forums and other resources at CamaroZ28.com. It's all there for you. Once again, thank you for listening to Camaro Z28.com podcast. We'll see you next week.